Well, the Western media story about Eastern Ukraine is starting to collapse as journalists begin to uncover the truth there. The mass graves story in Mariupol is fake. The story at the maternity ward has new facts that show it was staged. The story about the theater being attacked also falling apart thanks to some amazing boots-on-the-ground journalism. We'll get there in a second, but first, I want to show you some new video that you will not see on your billionaire-funded local news stations or anywhere else. This is newly released video of women and families waving and blessing as soldiers drive by. Now, these are Russian soldiers, okay, as they liberate towns in eastern Ukraine. Now, CNN and MSNBC wish this video were fake. It's not, but they won't show it to you. How many people watching right now have seen this video on your local news stations or on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or anywhere else? These are women, families waving and blessing. Look at this. Russian soldiers as they move into different towns in eastern Ukraine to liberate these areas. Now, we're going to get into the details of this because it's complicated and it's nuanced, but I wanted you to see it. Now, why would these people be waving and blessing these Russian soldiers as they come into their towns? There's a story here. There's a big story, and it's been covered up and hidden from you. It's a story that all of these people know very well, but you don't because your Western media has kept it from you. Or if you're watching this show, chances are you've at least studied great reporters like Patrick Lancaster and others, so you're getting this information. But largely, it's being kept from you. Now, if you knew this story, when you wouldn't be hanging out. You know, if you knew the story ahead of time, maybe your neighbors probably wouldn't be hanging a Ukrainian flag on, you know, their St. Louis doorstep. And if you knew this story, you certainly wouldn't be using your tax dollars to fund military industrial complex equipment. That's why they lie to you, right? It's part of this propaganda so that they can continue to fund this proxy war. So now that certain areas have been liberated of Nazis, the Russian army has been setting up humanitarian centers to deliver and hand out food and water, protein specifically, water, and even chocolate to the kids. Now, this is a journalist. Her name is Ava Bartlett. She is Canadian. She's a journalist who's covered Syria. She's in eastern Ukraine covering the removal of the Azov Nazi battalion, but before the humanitarian aid arrived as a bloody war in this region. So to listen to the Russian government mission was a denazification of Ukraine. Well, it seems exactly that's what's been unfolding, much to the chagrin of the Western media. They would love for you to believe that Russians are attacking all sorts of civilian targets on purpose. But thanks to these brave journalists on the ground, that's not true. In fact, it's the opposite. So here is Ava Bartlett. She's a journalist in this region covering some of the humanitarian areas that have popped up. Watch this.
Yes, in several parts of the areas that were controlled by the Ukrainian Nazi battalions, the Russian army is now distributing humanitarian assistance. This particular town was hit by these battalions and destroyed a factory, destroyed school, and there is a severe crisis going on here. And to talk about this, I have a guest. She's an American-Canadian journalist living in Russia, Ava Bartlett. Eva, what's the humanitarian situation in the newly liberated areas of the Donbas?
Well, I think as people will see behind us, people are lining up for the supplies, which are actually quite sufficient, it seems. And they're coming in batches to collect supplies. I would note that this is similar to what we saw in Syria once areas were liberated of terrorists that had occupied these areas and starved the civilians. Once the areas were liberated, humanitarian corridors, well, before they were liberated, humanitarian corridors were set up. Civilians fled to secure areas, and then they were given humanitarian aid.
And is this issue really covered by the mainstream media in the West?
Absolutely not. And it might seem strange, but I've been taking photos of the actual aid packages, what goes into the boxes or the bags, because I know the predictable Western response will be, well, they're empty or something like that. But they contain a variety of proteins, vegetable in tins, chocolate even, water, obviously. And, you know, it's not going to be reported on in Western media. Or they will say this is just a stage, you know, that these are just actors or this is just happening in one region. We've seen a few regions already, and we've only been here for a couple of days.
Interesting, right?
Wow.
Stories you will not, How many of you right now hit that like button if you would like to see more of this type of news coverage?
Yeah.
Because chances are you're not going
to
see that.
If you go to her Twitter profile at Eva K. Bartlett, her Twitter profile byline is, I go to the places I write about. So this is actual, like, she's trying to let you know what's actually happening because she is telling you what we are not allowed to see.
Unlike the New York Times, which should say, we don't go to the places we write about.
Right. We do a strong Google search.
Yeah. We report from afar. So to listen to Russian government missions, when they said at the outset, why were they going into Ukraine? Why was Russia going into Ukraine? Why did Putin say this? Why did their foreign office say this? Why did their Ministry of Defense say this? All of it, every member of the Russian, you know, the Russian Federation said this was the denazification of Ukraine. Well, the Western media laughed at that. Like, there's no Nazis there, even though we've covered them for years and now we're hiding it. Well, that seems to be exactly what's been unfolding. Again, much to the chagrin of Western media. They would love you to believe that Russians are attacking all sorts of civilian targets on purpose. Thanks to brave journalists, though, on the ground, that's not true. In fact, the opposite is true. Let's look more deeply now at the Battle of Mariupol. Listen to the people of Mariupol describe who did this to their city and who kept them hidden in basements. Listen.
Well, the first feeling here is not a thought. It's just an emotion. It's an anguish so far that it still makes me cry. And I have come here on purpose. I'm not a government man. I'm a producer, a poet, a sculptor, a designer. Let's talk about Russia. This is the territory of Russia. Russians in this territory don't want to live as the United States dictates. That's the whole conflict. All the propaganda is American. All this was done by the Azov regime, shooting people on purpose, setting people on fire on purpose.
I just want to say in our chat, Deadless Guns says, I just want to point out that there are more people watching this show right now live than are on ABC News.
Oh.
I get chills thinking about that. There are so many people here who want the truth about these stories, and we're going to continue to bring it to you. That man we just saw was a poet. He's a sculptor. He's in that region, and he says the Nazis were responsible for what happened here. This man that we're going to see describes his time during the last few months when these Ukrainian Nazi soldiers broke into his house, beat him in the face with the butt of their gun, and he still has headaches to this day. They smashed in his face, stole his food. These are the Nazis that broke into his house, he says. Listen to this man.
We were in the house when the Ukrainian soldiers arrived, and they started beating me, provoking me right away. And they took things. They took cigarettes. They took food. They beat me on the floor. I still have a headache. Why all this? I don't know.
I don't know. Alejandro Kirk is an amazing journalist. He's a journalist for Telesir TV, one of the few news organizations covering this story. He's been in Mariupol now four different times at length, and he explains that, and what's interesting about going there four times is that he's seen a progression of the people in Mariupol and in other cities in eastern Ukraine. And he explains that the people there fear these Nazi spies, that if they speak on camera, they will be killed. So when he was interviewing these individuals that were trapped in the basements, that were being held against their will, they would basically wait until the cameras were turned off before telling them the truth of the Ukrainian Nazi occupation. Listen to what they say now about why, and he explains how they fear these Nazi spies because their friends have gone missing.
The People's Republic of Donetsk. These people are have been the subject of many suffering in the last 3 weeks. Fierce combats have been taking place in this town. Many buildings are destroyed or burned by the combat. They were used as a human shield by the Ukrainian forces and also by the Nazi battalions that were operating here. For the last 8 years, these people did not have the right to their own language. For 8 years, these people under Ukrainian rule were second-class citizens for being ethnic Russians. And now they are afraid. And why they are afraid? Because it is suspected that many Ukrainian spies. Many Ukrainian infiltrators are among them, again, threatening their lives. And that's why when we speak to them, they say one thing on camera and they say a whole different story out of camera.
And when they do speak, they tell amazing stories of these Nazis using women and children as human shields because now, they are cowards.
Angel Baby Cards in the chat makes a good point. How do we know the translations are appropriate? Because we don't speak Russian. And so we are relying on these news organizations to translate it appropriately. But also, if any of you speak Ukrainian or Russian, please bring in.
Yeah. And I've actually heard from quite a few of you on this, and with even more structure on some of the quotes that we play here. I don't speak Russian. I don't speak Ukrainian. I'm relying on you know, a Latin American who speaks Russian, who is in this region, an American Canadian journalists, other journalists who are like Patrick Lancaster and others who are brave and who are in this region who do speak the language and do the translations. And then, of course, you can actually use, and I use this, you can actually use different translation tools, which I use on my computer, on my Mac. They're very, very powerful translation tools. They're not perfect, but you will want to rely on these journalists to get accurate representation of that. But when you see a man's face beaten in, kind of tells the tale, right? That's also, you, there's things you can get without words, too.
Yes, clearly.
Right? And so these people are telling amazing stories, right? Using women and children as human shields. That's what they're doing because they are cowards. Now, Maxim Gargov is a reporter who specializes in covering crimes against humanity. Imagine that's your job as a reporter. Like, he goes to regions of the world and uncovers these things that are hidden. He covers crimes against humanity. And he says what the Nazis in Ukraine are doing is textbook. Listen to Maxim Gargov here in the eastern part of Ukraine.
They shoot people. They occupy buildings. Civilian buildings, they occupy schools, hospitals. They use them as a place for artillery, for tanks. This is a special technique. They hide in near the civil building. They shoot from there and then goes somewhere else. Or, for example, they occupy the floor or apartments and organize the place to fire.
What cowards.
They just organize their position there.
Little cowards.
And the people was from the left, from right, or upstairs or downstairs.
Yeah, so they fire and then they run. They're little weasels, aren't they? Right? Like they're there and then they know that they're going to be fired back upon, right? They know that they're going to be attacked. Because they're being like they're using these schools, they are using these places on purpose as human shields. It's absolutely disgusting. And you can actually listen to Alejandro Kirk explaining in more detail, another journalist, how these Nazi Ukrainian soldiers are using civilians as human shields. Listen to this.
On the following visits, the last one was last week, there is more self-confidence and people speak more about what happened. And the story is always the same, not only in Mariupol. It's also the same in Valna Baja, in Stila, in Lugansk, even in the neighborhoods here, right here in Donetsk, that the bombing, well, it's different here in Donetsk, but in those areas where the Azov battalion were, they would occupy one floor of the residential building. Then they would put the people on the other floor or in the next apartment and establish fire points from there. Mortars, machine guns, but also in the courtyards, they would install tanks, artillery, or mortars, so that they were using effectively them as human shields. And everybody says that. I mean, I found nobody who would say, no, they left us alone. They allowed us to go. They did not want to put us on the fire line. I never found anyone saying that. And more you dig into it, the more the truth is coming out that these people were actually doing that which is forbidden by the Geneva Convention. So
So what weaponry, again, are they using? Well, we reported it at the top of the show. It's the United States that seems hell-bent on arming whoever is on the side of Ukraine and anti-Russia.
Yeah, and we've covered, you know, someone said in the chat yesterday and asked this question, they said, you mean to tell me that the United States has armed these individuals? And I'm not telling you this. The facts are, the Gray Zone has already reported this, that yes, in fact, they have United States weapons in their hands. That's indisputable. And yes, that has been proven by journalists who've been covering that region. So they, yes, whether or not they're in, you know, handed to them, like, you know, here you go, it doesn't matter. We're sending those weapons. And as CNN has uncovered, we don't even know where these weapons go. They go into a black hole. And guess what? Guess where they turn up? They turn up in the hands of these guys,
which the Biden administration has deemed an acceptable risk. Mm-hmm. We know that's going to happen. We're sending them anyway. A government official told that to CNN.
Well, we're learning more about the horrific occupation of this region by the Nazis and how they treated the ethnic Russians in this area over the past 8 years. Of course, we've been reporting on this show how a genocide has been unfolding for the last 8 years, ever since the Maidan coup, and ever since the United States installed a puppet government in Ukraine. The eastern region of Ukraine has been under constant attack, and the people have been treated as second-class citizens, as you just heard from Alejandro Kirk's reporting. We've been reporting that, though, for weeks, so this is nothing new, right? They've been beaten, they've been harassed, they've been arrested and killed. And most of the ethnic Russians in this region, by the way, speak Russian. They would rather learn Russian in school and, you know, Ukrainian on the side, right? That's what they would do in school. But when the Nazis took over, they were forbidden from speaking Russian, and it was outlawed at their schools.
Well, actually, it was the Zelensky regime that when the election was overturned in 2000, mm-hmm. or the military coup happened in 2014 and the new government was installed, it actually was supposedly the democratic, you know, upstanding regime that outlawed a language that was used in a major part of the country.
Right. Yeah. So now that they have been liberated by Russian forces, they can actually speak Russian again in their schools. In fact, in Mariupol, a school has now reopened and churches have reopened. They actually had Easter services, if you can believe that, after the hell they went through. Listen to one mom describe having to relearn how to speak with her children after 2 years of Nazi ruling in this part of the country and where they've been forbidden from actually speaking Russian.
Parents defended the Russian language for a long time, but they kept translating it into Ukrainian for their children. It was difficult to speak Russian at home, and it was difficult to speak Ukrainian at school. Now we have to retrain ourselves because for 2 years we have been speaking Ukrainian. The children are learning now. It'll be a little bit difficult, and they speak Russian at home.
So how many of you know about this, okay? How many of you know about this? I know many of you probably watch Fox, or some of you maybe watch CNN or MSNBC, but how many of you are actually informed about what's actually happening there, the nuance of this? Let me know in the chat. I'd love to hear this. One story that the Western media ran with was another fabricated story about the mass graves in Mariupol. The idea that Russians came in and killed thousands of civilians and then dumped them into a grave, right? We heard the story. Well, just like the other stories, this has been disproven by multiple journalists who visited the site of the so-called grave and found that it's actually a cemetery that's been there for years. There are a few hundred somewhat new graves in the cemetery, next to the cemetery, but all of them are marked with the names and the ages, and most of them are elderly. Now, we were told in the press, you heard these stories, right? There's 10,000 bodies.
Yes.
We heard this story. There's 10,000.
That had been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, they were there. They're new. There's 10,000 of them. They're there. They're new. And they're nameless civilians that were just bombed and killed, right? Well, that's not true. In fact, we were told these 10,000 bodies had no names, unidentifiable. That's not true. But you know what is true is that when the Nazis invaded the region in a number of years ago, thousands of people went missing. I wonder where they went. In fact, 2 years ago, over 1,000 people just in this city alone went missing. What happened to them? Well, I think we have some idea of it now. Here's Alejandro Kirk talking about these mass graves that he visited.
Investigating war crimes and human rights violations for the last 8 years in the Donbass area. And there are over 1,000 disappeared people in Mariupol in the period before the military operation. So this is not a mass grave. Nobody's denying the amount of people who have died, but this is not a mass grave of unidentified people, and much, you know, it's impossible that they are 9,000. So what amazes me and everybody here is that the easy way by which the Western media take these rumors, these misinformation as truth, they broadcast it without any verification of facts.
Yeah. They broadcast it without any verification of facts.
That's oh, what don't the, worry. The United States government's coming with
oh,
some...
Oh, yeah. We got our disinformation department ready to be lined up.
So we'll get the facts.
So what about that pesky story about the maternity ward? Remember that story? Remember how the Russians attacked a maternity ward while women were giving birth? They're literally pushing babies out, and the Russians were dropping bombs from aircraft. We heard that there was an aerial raid that attacked this maternity ward. Yeah, that story, also total garbage. Max Blumenthal from The Gray Zone has done some excellent reporting on this. Here's Max Blumenthal. And by the way, Max is an amazing journalist, you should follow him and you should listen to what he says. And here he is talking about his investigation into this maternity ward BS story.
However, there were so many strange details that compelled me to publish an investigation on this incident, down to the fact that many of the evacuees said that the Azov battalion, which controlled that theater and which was holding civilians basically hostage in the basement, had actually detonated an explosive charge to implicate Russia, that there was no evidence of deaths there, that all evacuations had taken place a day before the supposed explosion. And then we had photographic evidence showing that all vehicles were removed from the site prior to the explosion, whoever.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at those vehicle photos, it's pretty amazing because it's like, hey, we know we're about to blow this thing up, right? So we don't want to damage our only vehicles. So we remove all of
the
vehicles.
There is a supply chain.
Yeah, there's a supply chain crunch. So we remove all of our vehicles. Then we detonate the bomb inside of the building. And the women who have then come forward, of course, and talked about this have said, no, there was no air. There was no bombing from the air. And as Alejandro Kirk points out, he's covered many, many of these airstrikes. There's always a crater. I mean, if you hit a car with a bomb, guess what? There's a crater there. It doesn't just disappear. The streets outside the maternity ward are perfect, by the way. So there was no air raid. There was no air attack. But the Western media was happy to go on about it, right? They were happy to plaster it all over the front pages and show these pictures, right?
Yes, we were all given that in many photographic forms, many headlines. Yes.
Yeah, and the AP ran with it first and then, of course, never issued any kind of correction or any update, but that's what they do. And thanks to the brave journalists, we're getting a clearer picture of the truth in this region. So you can thank all of these brave journalists and thank you for sharing this show out with your friends. Share this out with your family. Smash that like button, because when you do, and it shares it out to people that need to see this information, because we've been lied to. And it's really, really troubling. And we're going further now. Thank you so much for subscribing to our channel. You know, we've been banned. We've been blocked. We've been censored. That's why we started our own website, to stay connected with you for free.
That's right. So head on over to redacted.inc and make sure you're connected with us. You can sign up again at redacted.inc, not .com.